From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Conversation. An 8-foot-long sturgeon was found dead in Lake Washington a couple of weeks ago. That same weekend, a fisherman caught an exotic piranha-like fish in a lake near Marysville. And last week, the Discover Channel celebrated its 25th Shark Week that included sharks living in the Pacific Northwest. Well, what do these three fishy events have to do with each other? It turns out they each tell a story about marine conservation. Here to explain why, Tim Essington, associate professor in aquatic and fishery sciences at the University of Washington. Tim, thanks for talking to us today.
Sure thing, Russ.
How unusual is it to find an 8-foot dead-long sturgeon in Lake Washington?
Well, it's pretty unusual. The best we can figure is it probably wandered in through the Ballard Locks someday, and we're not quite sure why, but it didn't last too long in the lake, and they found it washed up on the beach, I believe.
And the sturgeon population, as I understand it, has been decimated?
Yeah, so sturgeon are a pretty sensitive species. They live a really long time, up to 100 years old, so they're not very productive. They need to spawn kind of like in salmon. They like to spawn in big rivers, so they've really been hurt by the development of dams and whatnot. And, of course, they're hunted for their caviar, which is very, very prized.
That's right. We heard about that. In fact, international piracy rings are working to try to steal that.
Exactly right. Yeah, particularly the very prized beluga caviar comes from the beluga sturgeon from Europe, and the trade on that is very hard to regulate.
So, what does this story tell us about marine conservation? The fact that the sturgeon are still going?
Well, I guess it sort of reminds us we can forget about things like sturgeon, but they're still out there. Who knows? Maybe historically there were a lot more out there, and maybe they used to wander into the lake much more often.
Okay, this piranha-like fish found near Marysville, this was a horrifying picture. The bottom teeth on this fish looked so human.
Yeah.
Tell us more about this piranha-like fish, and how the heck did it get to Marysville?
Yeah, so we're pretty sure it's a South American group of species, or named after a group of species called pacu, which is very closely related to piranhas. Unlike piranhas, it doesn't really eat a lot of flesh. It has those very human, eerily human-looking teeth, because it eats a lot of seeds and nuts in its native range in South America. Almost certainly it got in there because somebody bought it for their aquarium, and either it got too big, it was too aggressive, someone decided they didn't like it, and rather than euthanize it, they decided they would free it and put it in a lake. And unfortunately, that's something that happens very commonly and is increasingly a concern for our freshwater and marine systems. Our best guess is anywhere between 2,000 to 20,000 fish are released in the Puget Sound area alone each year from the people just getting rid of their aquarium pets.
And I've seen that in some places, foreign fish coming to settle have created huge problems, kind of wiping out the native population. Is this piranha-like fish a danger to expand rapidly and have the same impact?
This particular fish probably wouldn't do very well here. Our winters are simply going to be too cold for it to live. So that's the one saving grace is a large number of these released animals won't make it through the year. But there are some that have the ability to tolerate the full range of temperatures that the Pacific Northwest has. And, of course, those have the potential to take off. And when invasive species do take off, it usually comes at a fairly big ecological and economic cost.
What is the invasive fish species that most concerns you, Tim Essington, that might be invading our waters in the not-too-distant future?
Oh, boy, there's so many. depending where you're looking, we have invasive crayfish. There's lots of invasive plants that come from the aquarium trade as well, and that causes all sorts of problems. And then a lot of invasive bivalves or clams. So, for instance, zebra mussels are a real big issue in a number of areas.
And, Tim, of course, Shark Week recently on the Discovery Channel, the 25th year they've done their exploration of sharks around the world and here in Puget Sound, too. We've got some sharks in our area.
Yeah, we do. We've got there's probably about a dozen species of sharks that, at some point might wander into Puget Sound and maybe call it home. But really, there's only three species that are there really regularly and relatively common. The biggest one is a critter called the six-gilled shark. It's really easy to identify. You count the gills. If it has six, it's a six-gilled shark. And it's a very docile shark. It can get to be pretty big, 8 feet or so, but certainly poses no threat to people. And then probably the most common species is a much smaller one called spiny dogfish. These are they're called dogfish because they school up and they kind of hunt in packs, kind of like a pack of wolves. And they, you know, they eat fish. They love chasing herring around. So wherever there's a big aggregation of herring or other small forage fish, chances are there's going to be a pack of dogfish also chasing them.
And Tim, what story of marine conservation does the existence of these sharks in our waters tell us?
Well, we're lucky that we still have sharks here. There hasn't been a lot of directed fishing pressure on these sharks. But in many other areas, there has been a lot of directed, purposeful attempts to kill sharks, either because they're perceived as being very dangerous, or they're killed for their shark fins, which are all bundled up into a lot of trade that goes over to Asia. So a lot of people view the Discovery Channel Shark Week. There's a lot of hype about the danger of the sharks. But us marine biologists like to remind everyone that humans are a lot more dangerous to sharks than sharks are to humans.
Thanks for telling us about that, Tim. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing.
Tim Essington, Associate Professor in Aquatic and Fishery Sciences at the University of Washington.